morning, everybody.
Good morning. Welcome to
Columbia Church of Christ, and welcome to everyone viewing online. Glad to have you here this morning. Some announcements coming up. Columbia is helping out with the food pantry this month, so if you are willing and able to help out with that, Tuesdays from 6 to 8, contact Jeremy and let him know that you will help out there. Junior Church, this week and next week, Junior Church is going to stay up here because Jonathan and Sydney are on vacation, so we will resume that in 2 weeks on November 29th, 2 weeks from now. Next Sunday, the 22nd, is our Thanksgiving meal. We are planning on moving ahead with that, so we need a head count for how many people plan on attending. So if you can let Jan know how many will be in your party if you plan on coming, get her that number as soon as you can. And there's also a sign-up sheet outside of Jan's office for a few items that still need to be brought. So you can sign up for that there. And that'll be immediately after worship next week. And then Wednesday, December 9th, will be our Christmas dinner, so keep that on your calendars. That'll be at 6 p.m. A ham will be provided. The rest will be potluck. And that's when we do our ornament exchange. So if you want to do that, you can bring an ornament, and you'll be entered into the exchange. And Secret Sisters reveal that, choose new sisters for the following year. So those are our announcements. And will you please bow your heads with me, and we can go to worship. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are so grateful just to be able to come here to your house to celebrate who you are, Lord. God, as we worship you this morning, I pray that we would just be a joyful noise to your ears, God. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm not Tim, but we're going to do the song service this morning, opening hymn, Here I Am to Worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all the Just stay seated. But Connie picked out some of the songs this week. I was supposed to, but she had some that she wanted to sing, so we're going to sing some of them right now. So let's stand up. There are ones that you need to stand up to sing.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. He left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its water at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall be. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in the lips that ebbs and flows. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. My life was wrecked by sin and strife. This hurt filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that's why I'll shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
That's one of Connie's favorites, that one there is.
Mm-hmm.
To sit down, they may at this time. But you can keep standing if you want to. Gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity we have to gather here. Lord, we pray that you will be with all those who are online that will be watching, that we will be a family all together. Dear Lord, we pray that you will bless everyone. Thank you for this ability to gather. We ask us all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make the wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, dear Father, turns His face away. hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a
It's our communion time. I think we all understand what the juice represents, the blood of Christ that covers our sins. The bread that we take is the body of Christ. But what does that really mean to be the body of Christ? And when we take it, we're saying that we're the church. What does the church do? What's the church's function? Well, the church's function is to win souls to Christ. In order to do that, we need to become more like Christ. And so I've been trying to figure out how it was that Christ was able to come, God in the flesh, be tempted in every way that we are, and still be able to live a sinless life. So I've been thinking about that, trying to understand. And I compare that to myself. How do I live? And I think, you know, that maybe this won't make any sense to you, but do you know what a sine wave is? Okay, you have a sine, a wave that goes up, comes down, comes back up, and it rotates or oscillates around the baseline. And above, you're happy. Below, you're sad. That's the way I look at it. My life's a little bit like that. I'm happy sometimes. Sometimes I'm sad. What makes me happy? Well, if I succeed at something that I've tried to do, I'm happy. If I fail, I'm sad. If I can help somebody do something, I feel kind of happy. If they fail and I'm helping them, then we're probably both sad. But, you know, it's the baseline, I think, that's important. I'm sure that if Christ came, we know he did, came to earth in the flesh, that he had sad moments and he had happy moments. I know he was sad when, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. I think he was happy probably to see Peter jump out of the boat, try to walk to him, because he knew that Peter had faith at that point. But then, of course, Peter took his eyes off Christ and started sinking. He let the world pull him down. And we're like that. we let the world pull us down. We have happy times, and then something goes wrong. Might be a health issue. It's hard to say. But I think I'm not alone. I think everyone has this kind of oscillating wave of life that goes through them. And I was thinking about the rich young ruler. Now, what made Jesus ask him that question? I mean, he had done everything that he was required to by law. But yet Jesus says you got to do one more thing if you really want eternal life. He says that's sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And that really, the rich young ruler went away sad, because his baseline was his wealth. And so I thought, you know, if I want to be more like Christ, maybe I need to raise my baseline. I can't be selfish. I know I'll never get there, because I'm just, you know, I have a selfish streak in me. There's things I want, and I know that I'll never be able to get rid of those. But I think that if we work at it, we can raise our baseline to get better than we are now. I just wanted you to think about that when you break that bread and say that I'm the body of Christ. Here's how I need to, maybe I need to conduct my life a little better. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, it does seem like maybe our nation's going through a sad time right now. There's so many things that we go through a happy period, and then something happens. Right now we've got this virus that just seems like it's just hanging over us like a cloud. We can't get rid of it. We know that you're able to take care of everything, Father. And so that's what our prayer is today, that you'll just take care of us, watch over us, be with us individually as Christians who want to try to serve you, want to try to win souls to you. Help us to raise our baseline so that we can be more like Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's our prayer and praise time. We have two. It's from Cheryl and me for our son David and our daughter-in-law Heather and step-grandson Colton Maley. All three have the COVID virus with varying degrees, and my mother should be taken out of quarantine tomorrow in the nursing home. And that nursing home in Defiance has been hit pretty bad. And from Jan Hohenstein for her daughter-in-law, Janet Purdy, for her daughter-in-law's mother, Rona. She passed away on Friday morning from cancer. And there's a lot of things to be praying for. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, with the coming of this past in years 2020, you thought this would be a special year. And maybe in its ways, it is. It's not a year that's going to be easily forgot. We've had a virus that's been passed on to the world. It's been devastating to some, and some have nothing more than a sniffle. We hope and pray that something can be done about it. Maybe it's our sins. Maybe it's your judgment on the world. We pray that, but there's been innocent people that have gotten it, and people that shouldn't get it, and people who have health problems that have to deal with it, and it takes their lives, and, or it gives further health problems in them. We hope and pray that a solution soon can be found for this. And we know that death goes on for Rona. We hope and pray that she lives in your holy presence forever, that she had the best treatment for cancer, and that's the blood of Christ, that she lives in eternity. And we have this thing going on in our nation, direction, which way will the country go if who is selected president? Whoever it is, we pray that they seek after you with all their heart, body, mind, and soul. Be with us as a people. Be with us as a body of Christ here. And be with Lee as he preaches the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. It's a pleasure to be with you. Jeremy and his family's in our prayers as they hunker down and wait and see how possible exposure turns out, and to the others who have this virus and it's confirmed, we share our prayers with you. These are difficult times. Challenging times, new times for some of us. Never seen this before, but it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened before. There have been great scourges that have come upon this earth that, whether judgment at this point is the reason for it, it is the result of judgment nevertheless from the beginning of time, when at first there was no disease. You know, I was talking with a good friend just the other night, and I've taken an opportunity to call some old friends, ones that I may not get to see again, friends from Warsaw, friends from Toledo, friends from all over, just to encourage them and say, can I pray with you? But I was talking with Dave Turner, who has a pretty scientific mind, and I said, you know, a virus really isn't a living thing, is it? I said, you know, he said, no, it's not. It has the capability of attaching itself to a living cell and taking that cell over. But it is not alive in the sense of a living cell itself. I said, isn't that interesting? The virus needed to have a living cell first before it could come into being. It can't come into being and replicate itself without a living cell. Isn't that the way it was in the beginning? At first, God's world was perfect. And then as a result of sin, there is a virus that has come upon us and attached to itself to every part of our being. Thanks be to God. for sending his son Jesus into the world, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and things might be restored. I don't know if any of you noticed that as we were standing for these songs, at the beginning of each song, I go like this. I don't want to be the only one. Standing up front like that with nobody in front of me is a hazard. Do you understand? Because I don't want to be the guy standing up front and everybody else going, look at him. He's standing up there. So I was checking every single song to see if somebody was standing up in back of me. I'm going to preach a different kind of sermon today. You get all of the experiments. But this is like being home. There is an old hymn that keeps coming to mind. And I had a few days' notice on this, but I didn't call the praise team to say, you know, can you play this thing? And you might be thankful that I didn't. I love all kinds of worship music. I love the contemporary songs because I want my grandkids to be in heaven. I love that. I love bluegrass. I do. I love the old hymns. And I have a particular reason for loving those old hymns. Not only because there is depth in those words, but I can hear my mother and father singing them right alongside me. And that means a great deal to me. And someday I pray that that will mean a great deal to your children, whether it's praise songs, whether it's one of those 7-11 songs. You know what that is? The same 7 words you sing 11 times, you know? But you know what? We laugh about that and think that it maybe doesn't have value, but it does. It does. We don't have much time or regard for anything that doesn't get over quickly, you know? And to stop and meditate on just those words over and over again has value. The hymn that keeps coming to mind is Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Now, does anybody know that hymn? A few of you. And I find myself using it as I begin my prayer. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Do any of you have foolish ways? I do. And so my message today, I'd like to share that hymn with you. I'm not going to sing it. You can thank me later. If I tried, you'd really thank me. And I'd like to explore where this comes from the scripture, the words of this song. Okay? Now, I don't know exactly which words of scripture the author had in mind. His name was John Greenleaf Whittier. And he lived between 1807 and 1892. Long time ago. Here's the hymn. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives, thy service find. In deeper reverence, praise. In simple trust, like those who heard beside the Syrian sea, let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. Drop thy still dews of quietness. till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heat of our desires thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be numb. Let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire. O still, small voice of calm. Beautiful words. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. When I read those words and when I sing those words and when I say them in a prayer, I think of Psalms 103, beginning with the 8th verse. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as the high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What a beautiful example of the depth, the height and the depth of God's love. As high as the heavens, that's beyond, there is no limit. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I don't think it's an accident that he didn't say, as far as the north is from the south. Because if you move in that direction, and you move north, after a while you've come to south. But not with east and west. You go east and it's perpetual. You're always going east. You never get to the west. Now you can get to a location on the globe that we think of as the west. But you can't go east to go west. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. There are not many times in the Old Testament that God is referred to as the Father. It is largely through the coming of Jesus, his Son, and our elder brother, that God is revealed to us as the Father of all mankind. In the beginning, he is spoken of as the Father of the Jewish race, primarily. But through the coming of Jesus, we have the knowledge that God is the Father of all who follow him. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. I have foolish ways. You don't have to raise your hand. I suspect we all do. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. You ever think to yourself, I must have been out of my mind? Huh? That was a bad choice. What was I thinking? Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in pure lives. Let me live a purer life. Thy service find. You want to be effective in your service? Live as best you can a pure life. You know what detracts from our service? our own sinfulness. And it does. You want to be more effective? Live closer to the heart of God. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In pure lives, thy service find. Now, it reminds me of Romans 6, 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, that like into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that the old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that no longer we should be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives, thy service find. You know, there's a saying, there are three deaths. Pick two. Okay? There's physical death. There's spiritual death, separation from God. And there's the death that we experience at the time of our baptism, the death of the old man. There are three deaths. Pick two. Without being baptized into Christ, without turning to God, there'll be the physical birth and the spiritual death. But if you have chosen, you don't choose your physical birth, but if you have chosen your death to the old person and your resurrection, just as baptism gives the example of the death, burial, and resurrection, we will have no part in the spiritual death. There are three deaths. Pick two. Choose wisely. And finally, the beautiful words of the song, in deeper reverence, praise, going on with that Romans text. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin for all. But the life He lives to God. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives, thy service find. Tom Lemler, a good friend, in his little devotional book, In Christ Alone, writes this. What temptation is your greatest struggle? Is there any element of sin in your life that you have accepted as normal? Isn't that powerful? Is there any element of sin in your life that you have accepted as normal? Something you can't win against. Discard it. Put it away. Live your life for Jesus. Now, let's see if I can get to the next page here. The next verse goes like this. In simple trust, like those who heard beside the Syrian sea. Now, oftentimes it's easy to sing a hymn and not really get the meaning of the words. The Syrian sea refers to any body of water in what we would think of as the promised land of the Jews, the area that is Israel today, in the area of Syria. And so it's saying, in simple trust, like those who heard Jesus teach beside whatever body of water it was, beside the Sea of Galilee or wherever it might have been, beside the River Jordan, wherever it might have been, in simple trust like those who heard beside the Syrian Sea. And it makes me think of the parables. Matthew 13, 1 through 9 says, that same Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed, and he was scattered. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on the rocky places where there was not much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, which it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you're thinking, I've heard that parable 100 times. But put yourself in the place of the people who heard it beside the Syrian Sea, beside the Sea of Galilee. And he's teaching, and some of the people there have gathered there thinking, is he really the Messiah? I want to see for myself. And others in the crowd are mockers. They have gathered there to disprove that he has any spiritual validity at all. They're there to trip him up. And others are thinking, I'd like to see him do that loaf and fish thing again. And some of them are thinking, this sower isn't very good at sowing seed. He ought to be a little more careful where he's throwing it. Because they're farmers. They wouldn't sow seed that way. But in the process, they're hearing a story of the kingdom of God. In simple trust, like those who heard beside the Syrian Sea, the gracious calling of the Lord. Here's another instance beside the sea. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Here's the word of the song. Let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. The scripture says, and at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father too and followed him. Let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. Well, you might say that's 2,000 years ago. They were fishermen long time ago. What has that to do with me? In Mark 8:34, Jesus said, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone, that covers all the years of time, would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you ready to be fishers of men? Are you ready to follow Jesus wherever he leads us, not knowing what lies ahead? Isn't it a beautiful song? Drop thy still dews of quietness. Isn't that a beautiful example, the dew in the morning? That's a quiet morning. You step outside, maybe the birds are singing, and the dew is on the ground. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Do you strive? God put that in us, okay? He put that desire to accomplish things in us. What we know of God in the beginning is that he made stuff, right? He made a lot of stuff. He put things in order. And what a beautiful order it is. And that's in us. That's part of us being in God's image. To create, although we create nothing, we merely reassemble things that He has given us. Whether it's elements or whether it's thoughts. But we do love to explore too. And I believe He put that in us as well. But there comes a time when those things take over our lives and leave no room for the depth of spiritual life. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Reminds me of Psalms 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Drop thy still dews of quietness. Do we need that? I do. Take from our souls the strain and stress. Do you have any strain? Do you have any stress? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. Listen to this. And the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. As I was reading in Revelation a while back, it struck me that the description of the throne of God in the midst of where the rivers come together was very much like the Garden of Eden, where the rivers came together. That's an image of heaven. Mankind's association on a daily basis with God. Heaven is a reflection, or should I say the Garden of Eden was a reflection of God's heaven. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Are things in an uproar today? Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He's in control. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess. Not helter-skelter, not here and there, racing here and there without purpose, but let our ordered lives confess. Let us have priorities in our lives. There's a little book, and I didn't bring one with me, but I have a number of them because I handed them out for a while. It's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And part of the gist of the little booklet is that Jesus didn't heal every sick person that He encountered. He didn't raise every dead person from the dead. He performed His miracles to demonstrate He was the Son of God. And then the people listened to Him. These were urgent things, you understand. Every sick person, everyone was pulling on his coat. But He did the important things. The things that He was called to do. The beauty of this little book, and the second edition doesn't have this cover. The first one had a big, just a little booklet, had an orange cover, and it said The Tyranny of the Urgent. And across it was stamped in big yellow letters, Urgent. I loved it. You understand the humor of that. Pick me up. Read me now. pretty much describes our lives, or the things that would entice us away from following the will of God. This is a hard one. Breathe through the heats of our desire. Thy coolness and thy balm. Our desires. Can destroy us. For not everything that we desire is a good thing, nor a righteous thing. James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each of us is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Have you ever known someone that did something just completely out of character? Now, forgive them, because we're people, okay? And I'm not picking on them. Because this is all of us. Have you ever known someone who did something completely out of character? When you heard they did that, it was verified, you thought, man, I thought they'd never do that. Generally, you know how that happens? They thought about it. They turned it over in their mind. It became more doable. And after a while, they fell into sin. And we're all capable of that very thing. Let sense be dumb. I misquoted it. I said numb, but same way when I read it. Let sense be dumb. Let it diminish the desire of our senses. Let flesh retire. Move it to the back. Speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire. I love this. It's an allusion to an Old Testament story of Elijah. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, he's just beat up on the priests of the false prophet Baal. He's mocked them. God sent down fire from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice, but he doesn't hear the rantings and ravings, and they cut themselves and they screamed out to their gods to send down fire from heaven, and it just didn't happen. And Elijah's over there saying, hey, your God's taking a nap. Is he on vacation? Is he in the Keys? Huh? Did he go south for the winter? Where's your God? And he let him have it. And then Jezebel hears about what he did to the priests of Baal, and she says, I'm going to have his head on a platter, maybe something like that. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him about 100 times. And Elijah gets scared, and he hides on the mountain. He's hiding in a cave, and the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, in my presence, so to speak. for I'm about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. It is ironic that the words of this hymn did not begin as a hymn. They began as a poem. And the author was a Quaker. Now, you understand some of the sentiments of this hymn, but the Quakers never sang in church. They waited to hear the voice of God. It's a little ironic that later on another person would take the words of his poem and make it a hymn. Now, I think it's beautiful to sing our hymns in church and hymns of praise. This was just their... This was their way. Breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb. Let flesh retire. Speak through or over, maybe not over. We look for God in the sensational things. But he's not in the earthquake, wind, and fire. He speaks to us through a still small voice that is his Holy Spirit and through his word. When do you seek God's face? In the quiet of the day. Where are you when you are most inclined to hear God's voice? Let me share with you the words of the song one more time and think if you understand it more clearly now. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In pure lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. In simple trust, like those who heard beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire. O still, small voice of calm. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, it is such a honor and privilege to be here today with my brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless them. Ask you to bless the families that are enduring this terrible sickness and other things that have broken their lives. Help them to put their trust in you. We pray that as this terrible thing comes upon this earth, that those who are without you would have opportunity and those to teach them what it means to follow you, and let them please turn to you before it's too late. Father, thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And through sending Jesus, you teach us that we are your children. Father, we confess to you that we are sinners. And we ask you to help us turn away from any sin. We pray for all those around us. And finally, for the needs of our lives. We thank you for giving us a bountiful earth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand up, not study.
Thanks, Lee. Look at those great old hymns like that. The one Connie picked today, He Keeps Me Singing. There's a part in there that was pointed right at me. It said, all my life was wrecked with sin and strife. And one that Lee used was, Dear Lord and Father of all mankind. I didn't grow up in this church. Grew in a Methodist church. And so we sang that particular song numerous times in a year. He's pointing at me again. Forgive our, in my case, foolish ways. That's probably something that relates to everyone here, maybe. So at this time, it's a good time for us to pray for the Lord's help to reclothe us in our rightful mind. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and savior.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, we do need you. Help us in our foolish ways. Help us to focus on you, because it is through you we have the gift. You have given it to us freely. Lord, we pray that you will bless all that was here. Especially you've forgiven us the message. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name.
One by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Thank you, everyone, for coming.